Long before extreme sports were defined by body piercing, tattoos, and Mountain Dew commercials, there was pole vaulting, a sport as extreme as it gets. Running, planting a pole, and catapulting into the air provides the spectator with a graceful, gravity-defying image. Vaulters say it gives them a stomach-dropping thrill. And as befits any extreme sport, there's danger involved. Perhaps too much. In recent months, two high school vaulters and one in college have died. Now, as NPR's Tom Goldman reports, a grieving parent is trying to make the sport safer.
When Kevin Dare took up pole vaulting 6 years ago, his father, Ed, became a full-time partner. Ed helped coach Kevin. The two watched hours and hours of tape of Kevin's vaults. But Ed Dare also learned when to back off. Before track meets, Kevin liked to focus on his own. So it was 2 months ago, as Kevin, a Penn State University sophomore, got ready to vault at the Big Ten Conference Indoor Championships in Minneapolis. Before heading up to the stands to watch, Ed Dare approached his son and, as always, kept it short.
So I walked up to him and I patted him on the back and wished him good luck. And he took his headset off because he was listening to some music and said to me, he said, Daddy, so this is my day.
Ed Dare remembers Kevin's very first vault started well. He looked strong as he planted his pole and surged toward the bar, set at 15 feet 7 inches. But at the top of the jump, Kevin's forward momentum changed, so his body didn't keep moving toward the foam pads in the landing pit. Instead, Kevin dropped back down into the metal box where he had just planted his pole.
I immediately left my seat and ran down to the track. And it was at that point that I could tell he was in trouble because there was some blood, and at that point the paramedics and the trainers were all around him, and I didn't leave his side from that point on.
19-year-old Kevin Dare died of massive head injuries on that February day. I spoke with Ed Dare last week on what would have been Kevin's 20th birthday.
Today is 53 days of just absolute living hell.
For Ed Dare, it's also been a time of startling revelations about a sport he loved with his son. Scouring the internet from his home in Pennsylvania, talking and trading emails with coaches and athletes, Dare discovered the following. In U.S. high schools, where the most vaulters compete, an estimated 25,000, pole vaulting has higher rates of death and catastrophic injury than any other sport, including football. And the dangers, says Dare, have become frighteningly apparent just this year.
In a 49-day period in the year 2002, four young athletes had major severe head injury, of which three have died. This sport needs to be reformed, and it needs to be reformed now. Young athletes are dying.
Sit!
I went to a high school track meet to see how Ed Dare's sense of urgency was playing out in at least one segment of the pole vaulting world. I randomly chose a meet in Ridgefield, Washington. Ironically, while the crowd cheered the more popular running events, the pole vault was delayed for safety reasons. A volunteer vaulting coach had to slice off some rubberized asphalt from the pole vault runway and use it to cover exposed metal in the box. That done, the vaulting finally began. Even as he missed on several attempts to clear 11 feet, high school vaulter Jordan Spencer was mesmerizing to watch. In a bright red track uniform and lime green Nikes, his lope down the runway became a sprint, then a free fall to the pads. For Spencer, it's an incomparable thrill.
The rush is going up because you don't know where you're going. There's a split second where you're not looking at anything and you're just kind of sailing. I think that's where the rush comes from, and then turning and looking down.
Three recent deaths are a hard reminder that the thrilling ride can end in disaster. But the vaulters here insist those were freak accidents, and that good coaching and awareness can keep a pole vaulter safe. Annie Gilman, a high school sophomore from Kalama, Washington, is part of the wave of young females who've started vaulting since it became a sanctioned girls' event over the past 10 years.
Our coach went over with us, like, if you do feel like it's wrong, you never let go of the pole ever. And just to make sure you're always there when you're vaulting, you can't be like some off where and never land. You have to be there, you have to concentrate, you have to know what you're doing, or else the accidents become more and more and more.
By all accounts, Kevin Dare knew what he was doing as a pole vaulter. He was a junior national champion and represented the U.S. in international competitions. Experience and ability weren't enough to keep him alive. What might have, says his dad, was a protective helmet. Kevin, like all the high school vaulters at the Washington track meet, didn't wear one. Ed Dare says that's the first thing that has to change.
These athletes who are getting head injuries has all been as a result of striking their head on a hard surface. No one's going to sit here and tell me that a helmet would not have protected those athletes.
In fact, some will say that to Ed Dare, and one of them is an unlikely opponent of mandatory helmets.
I had a subdural hematoma. There was fracture of the skull, but there was no open wound. But it's just a brain bruise.
15 months ago, Kelsey Cody almost died pole vaulting after flipping out of the landing pit and hitting the ground with her head. Now a sophomore at Eastern Washington University, Cody wants to vault again, but without a helmet, which she believes could have injured her even more when the accident happened.
The way that I landed with my head like tilted back, and therefore I did enough damage to my neck as it stood. If I would have had a helmet on, it would have pushed my head further up, and pretty surely caused more damage to my neck.
Currently, there are no helmets specifically certified for pole vault use. Vaulters who do cover their heads use helmets that are also used by skateboarders or inline skaters. That's enough reason for some sports organizations to balk at requiring helmet use. There's always the risk of lawsuits if a mandated yet non-certified helmet doesn't protect the vaulter. But Ed Dare doesn't think much of the argument that current helmets actually might cause additional injury.
I think that's a cop-out.
Two high school athletic associations agree. North Dakota and Minnesota are the only states to mandate helmets. As one North Dakota official said, "We decided to err on the side of caution." Minnesota adopted its law about 2 weeks after Kevin Dare died in Minneapolis. It's a small start, but a start nevertheless, says Ed Dare, who has a personal measure for gauging the ultimate success of his mission.
Right now, obviously, I cannot watch a live pole vault competition, whether that's a year from now or 2 years from now or however long it takes to make it a safe sport. The day that I can go out there and watch vaulters compete again, then I could probably say it's time to close that chapter.
In 2 weeks, Dare will meet with U.S. track and field officials to discuss pole vaulting safety. Dare says the meeting is very important, a chance for him to assess how seriously people are taking his calls for reform. He says if he feels he's just getting lip service, he'll keep going to protect the vaulters to come, and to honor one who's gone. Tom Goldman, NPR News.